And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up to heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On this day, our blessed Lord ascended under his own power into heaven. He ascended to his true home, heaven. Earth was not our Lord's home. Our Lord was made for heaven, or he wasn't made at all, really, but he exists for eternity in heaven. And he came to this world only out of his infinite love and infinite mercy for us. He came in order that you and I may have a chance to save our souls. He lived his whole life in order to teach us the way to salvation and to show us by his example how we too can live a holy life and avoid sin when we are tempted. He suffered and died in order to pay the debt owed for the sins of man, for your sins and for mine. He rose to prove to us that he truly was God, and that all that he taught us and all that he gave to us was from God. And he fulfilled all the prophecies that have been said about the Messiah. And then finally, when his work was accomplished, and he had fulfilled all those prophecies, and established his church, the Catholic Church, here on earth to endure till the end of time, he then ascended into heaven to go back to his true home. Like our Lord, our true home is in heaven. It's not here. We only live our lives for a short number of years, and then we too die. And our true life begins afterwards, our eternal life, in comparison with the few years that we have on earth. Eternity is immeasurable. And we must be working every day to get to our eternal life in heaven, to get closer and closer to God, striving every day to grow in grace and love of God, striving to save our souls. But how do we do this? How do we get to heaven? It's a goal which each and every one of us can most certainly attain. God wants us all to be with him in heaven, and he makes it possible for each and every one of us to get there. But how? How do we get to heaven? It starts, first and foremost, with prayer. We have to pray every day. We have to pray devoutly. We, as the Catechism tells us, prayer is lifting up our hearts, minds, and souls to God. We're giving everything of our spiritual being to God in prayer. And we should pray that way. We should pray without distraction. We should pray while thinking upon what we're praying, thinking about the words that we're saying. It shouldn't just be, I say these things. It should be that I mean these things. And it's the necessary foundation of our relationship with God. We don't have a relationship with God if we don't pray. We don't have a relationship with anybody if we don't talk to them. So if we don't talk to God, there is no relationship there. And when it comes to prayer, one of the most important prayers that we should always pray is our rosary. The rosary, outside of Mass, is one of the most powerful prayers that we can offer up. It should be part of our daily lives. We should live our lives with our rosary included every day. It's so powerful that there are many miracles attributed to the rosary alone. Thousands upon thousands of conversions solely due to the rosary. anybody that I've ever talked to that has come over from the Novus Ordo to come to realize the traditional church to be the real church, they've always done it. They've always had one thing in common, and that was devotion to Our Lady's Rosary. It's not a coincidence. Our Lady promised at Fatima that one day through the rosary and scapular she'd save the world. So it only makes sense that those coming to truth would do it through Our Lady and her rosary. And it is by having this good prayer life that we're able to live a good and holy life. Every day, striving towards heaven. In fact, we can't live a holy life if we don't pray. St. John Chrysostom tells us that it's impossible without prayer to live a virtuous life. You can't, in the eyes of God, be a good person if you're not praying. But what does it mean to live this virtuous life? What does it mean to be virtuous in the eyes of God? It's more than just avoiding sin. But how? How do we become virtuous? We are always told that we should imitate the saints, but which ones? Well, any of them are good to imitate, but some of them have lived lives and done so many extraordinary things that it's beyond us, our ability to do ourselves. They were chosen by God to do extraordinary things for the conversion of others. We can imitate their virtues, but their lives, it's a little more difficult. But there are plenty of other saints that lived lives more ordinary, more like ours. Their daily actions, I should say, were ordinary. But if you look at their whole lives, that's what's extraordinary, that they did it every day. And the first one who comes to mind when we think of living a relatively ordinary life, at least for me, is St. Thérèse of Lisieux. Her life, she didn't walk on water or didn't, you know, perform these incredible miracles during her life, but she did live an extraordinary life, which each and every one of us can do as well. She locked herself behind the doors of the cloister to be ignored by the rest of the world. But she lived every day and every moment in unity with God, striving to become closer to Him, striving to love Him more. We can do that. We can do that by the way of her example, that so-called little way of hers. What did that entail? It meant saying her prayers every day devoutly. It meant doing her work throughout the day, diligently, not wasting time, but offering every deed that she did up to God, trying to do it to the best of her ability because she knew that she was offering it to God. Do we make a morning offering in the morning? Because if we do, we too offer our works up as an offering to God. And then, therefore, everything we do in the day becomes a prayer. Everything we do, as long as we do it well, becomes very pleasing to God, and we gain graces and merits for them. St. Thérèse showed us in many ways that even just the little sufferings or trials throughout the day can be offered up to God for grace, for merits, to get us closer to heaven. She oftentimes had to wash the habits in the convent, and then back then they didn't have washing machines, so they did it all by hand. And there was one nun who usually would wash the habits along with her, and she'd be there, and this other nun would be so enthusiastic about washing these clothes that she'd forget all that was around her, and she'd wash so hard she'd splash water everywhere, including all over St. Thérèse. And for any one of us, it would be a source eventually to be, you know, to cause some aggravation. And I'm sure it was a struggle for Saint Therese, but she silently offered it all up as an offering to our Lord. In the Gospel, we see the apostles also commanded by our Lord to preach to all nations. It didn't just stop at the apostles, but we too, as Catholics, as soldiers for Christ, confirmed through the sacrament of confirmation, have to be that same example, that shining light to the world. And we do it mostly through our daily lives, how we live. That's oftentimes how we best preach. As St. Francis said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Our lives should reflect our faith. If we go to work, we should live as good, holy Christians. We should be, people should notice that we don't partake of the conversations that are not necessarily good, or we, you know, never give in to gossip around the workplace. Or if we're at school, we're always nice to our fellow students. In this way, we're showing and we're living our lives as Catholics, as God wants us to. And in that way, in a small little bits, we're preaching. We're teaching others about the faith, about how it means to live our lives. And we never, ever should cause scandal. If we live our lives in a way to avoid that, and to avoid sin, and to avoid bad example, we can't help but to have others around us realize that there's something good about our faith. There's something good about our love of God. And if we love God, we also need to love His church. That love for His church can be shown in many ways. All of us should always pray for the church, especially today and the problems that we've had. We should, if we're able to, do little works for the church, whether it's simply, you know, offering your time to clean or to you know, maybe cook something or whatever it may be. Those little offerings to give back to the Church of God. And praying for and offering sacrifices for this church is due to the fact that of the problems that we have in it now. It reminds me of one lady that I know. She's a parishioner back in Massachusetts, where I'm from, and probably one of the most edifying ladies that I've ever seen in my life. When I first met her, she's an elderly lady. You know, she even in the best health that I have ever known her, she probably only weighed about 100 pounds. And she's in her 80s now, and I remember talking to her one day, and because she started to come to the Latin Mass when we met her. She didn't know that there were any around to be able to go to. And I started talking to her a little bit, and she said that when the Second Vatican Council came and they took away the Mass, from that day on, every single night, for 40 plus years, she never slept in a bed ever again. She slept on the floor. This little, tiny lady offered that up as a sacrifice and reparation for the sins against the church. You know, we oftentimes think, you know, oh, we're big, you know, especially us guys, you know, we're big, strong men, oh, we can do anything. But how many of us are willing to do something that remarkable? This little tiny old lady, but she had the spirit of sacrifice. She had that love, that true love of the church. We must never lose sight of the fact of heaven being our true home. Our frequent prayer and living a God-centered life will help us to remember this. It's when we forget that our ultimate home in heaven that we are in trouble. We see this in the gospel today. Our Lord came to the apostles and appeared to the 11 of them sitting around the table. But they're supposed to be 12. Judas was supposed to be there as well. But he fell. He sinned, and then he forgot his end goal. He forgot that his home was meant to be in heaven. And because of that, he despaired. Strive every day to love God a little more and love and live your lives a little holier. Do this so that we may be like the other 11 apostles and be joined one day with our Lord in our real home in heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.